This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of bioabsorbable materials from the basic science section on orthobullets.com. Bioabsorbable materials were invented to address issues with synthetic implants, including migration, growth disturbance, rigidity, radio opacity, infection, and need for implant removal operations. Indications include but are not limited to pediatric orthopedics, for example, a transphyseal SR-PLGA 80-20 screws, which only cause temporary growth arrest in rabbits, unlike non-bioabsorbable implants. Other indications include osteomyelitis, for example, an antibiotic-eluting PLA or polylactic acid, carriers for growth factors like RHBMP2 and RHBMP7, and augmentation of bone healing at the iliac crest bone harvest site. Now, let's talk about types of bioabsorbable materials. We'll go over polyglycolic acid, or PGA, polylactic acid, or PLA, some copolymers, and self-reinforcing structures. So with respect to polyglycolic acid, or PGA, which is hydrophilic and crystallic, the glass transition temperature is 36 degrees Celsius, and keep in mind that this becomes malleable if this temperature is exceeded. Disadvantages of polyglycolic acid is that there's early degradation and strength loss, which has potential post-op complications. Intraoperatively, polyglycolic acid must be heated to adapt to the implantation surface and then cooled. Keep in mind that this has increased intraoperative time consumption. Moving on to polylactic acid, or PLA, this is more hydrophobic than PGA, or polyglycolic acid. There's an L isomer, otherwise known as a poly-L-lactic acid, or PLLA. This is hydrophobic and crystallic. It has prolonged degradation time, specifically several years, and keep in mind that there are late adverse reactions in the final stages of polymer degradation. The glass transition temperature for an L-isomer or poly-L-lactic acid is 57 degrees Celsius. The D-isomer of polylactic acid is amorphous and less stable than the L-isomer. Keep in mind that a D-isomer is useful for building copolymers. So moving on to copolymers, there can be a poly-L or D-isomer lactic acid copolymers. This is a mixture of D and L isomers of polylactic acid. Keep in mind that this is hydrophobic and crystallic. It's resistant to hydrolysis and degradation. And remember that adding D-isomers results in less tightly packed polymer chains. This is less crystallic and more rapidly degraded than poly-L-lactic acid alone. An example is a poly-L-isomer D-isomer lactic acid 7030 in oral maxillofacial surgery. These PLDLA copolymers have simple and self-reinforced forms. PLGA copolymers are a combination of polylactic acid and polyglycolic acid. They have low crystallinity, are used in oral maxillofacial surgery, and have simple and self-reinforced forms. Moving on to self-reinforcing structures, these are composite structures made from partially crystalline slash amorphous material made of oriented fibers slash fibrils and binding matrix. Self-reinforcing has better biomechanical properties. They have improved rigidity and strength along the longitudinal axis. They're malleable at room temperature, and there is no need for heating and cooling. They can withstand 4 times bending. They have minimal quote-unquote memory, meaning they have a tendency to return to the previous shape after bending, and they can be sterilized by gamma irradiation. Gamma irradiation cannot be used with non-reinforced materials, as this will reduce its molecular weight and adversely affect the mechanical properties of the implant. Now let's talk about various materials and their absorption times. So SRPLLA, or self-reinforcing poly-L-lactic acid, has an absorption time of greater than 5 to 6 years. Poly-L-lactic acid, or PLLA alone, has an absorption time of greater than 5 years. A PDLLA 7030, which is a copolymer, has an absorption time of 2 to 3 years. PLGA copolymer 8020 has an absorption time of 1 to 2 years. A PDLLA 964 has an absorption time of 2 years. Self-reinforcing polyglycolic acid has an absorption time of 0.5 to 1 year. PDS has an absorption time of 2 months. And PGA, or polyglycolic acid, has an absorption time of 1 to 2 months. Now let's talk about biodegradation. The primary mechanisms of biodegradation include polyhydroxyl acid degradation, kidney excretion, enzyme breakdown, lowered pH, and material crystallinity. Polyhydroxy acid degradation is breakdown by random hydrolysis of ester bonds, which leads to reduction of molecular weight, loss of mechanical properties, and the final products are CO2, H2O, and products of TCA or tricarboxylic acid. With respect to kidney excretion, PDS and PGA products can be excreted by the kidney. As far as enzyme breakdown, enzymes are involved with PLA and PGA degradation. As far as lowered pH, polymer breakage produces products that lower pH. Again, polymer breakage produces products that lower pH, and a lowered pH accelerates the breakdown. As far as material crystallinity, this determines hydrophobicity and degradation speed. Remember that amorphous and hydrophilic materials degrade faster. Again, amorphous and hydrophilic materials degrade faster as there's more contact with water molecules. Crystalline and hydrophobic materials degrade slower. Again, crystalline and hydrophobic materials degrade slower as there's less contact with water molecules. Additional variables that affect degradation include chemical composition and molecular weight, fiber orientation, that is whether self-reinforcing or simple, monomer concentration in polymers, stereoisomerism and conformation, pores and surface area per volume ratio, and the sterilization method, whether gamma irradiation versus others, as well as the degradation method, whether enzymatic versus hydrolysis. Now let's talk about some histopathology. We'll go over granulomatous inflammation and capsule formation. As far as granulomatous inflammation, cellular reactions around bioabsorbable implants are characterized by T lymphocytes, CD4 more than CD8, plasma cells, endothelial cells, birefringent polymer debris, thin macrophage layers, and multinucleated giant cells. As far as capsule formation, a capsule forms around implants that consist of an internal layer and an external fibrous layer. An internal cell layer is 2 to 3 cells thick, and there is a type 3 collagen predominance. An external fibrous layer has few spindle-shaped cells and has a type 1 collagen predominance. As far as the stages, this process begins with infiltration of neutrophils, which is a tissue reaction to trauma. This is followed by CD4 T lymphocyte infiltration, and finally, macrophage infiltration is last. Now let's finish this review session of bioabsorbable materials by talking about adverse tissue reactions. The incidence of an adverse tissue reaction is 3% in pediatrics and up to 60% in adults. So of course, this is more common in adults. As far as the presentation of an adverse tissue reaction, patients may have symptoms of fluid accumulation and or fluctuant papules. Keep in mind that when implant degradation exceeds debris removal rate, fluid accumulates. Symptoms appear late in materials with low degradation rate, for example, PLLA at 5 years post-op. Physical exam may reveal synovitis and or a discharging sinus. As far as labs, fluid cultures are sterile unless there is secondary bacterial infection after bursting. As far as radiography, osteolysis is seen in up to 60% of cases of adverse tissue reactions. Treatment of an adverse tissue reaction can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes observation, where you can see healing without active treatment. Operative options include aspiration and/or surgical debridement, implant removal, which is indicated if there is sterile implant failure or if there is secondary bacterial infection, and finally arthrodesis if there is severe osteoarthritis. That's all for this review about bioabsorbable materials. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.